for unity. We sing songs of unity. We pray prayers for unity. But what are we to do? Because the reality is that unity is not uniformity. But unity in the kingdom of God looks like the cross. Unity in the kingdom of God looks like us humbling ourselves and serving one another. Unity in the kingdom of God looks like us preferring one another over ourselves. Unity in the kingdom of God means us dying to ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. Gaining his mind, gaining his love, gaining his authority, gaining his power, and walking in that. The kingdom of heaven, it's neither here nor there. It's among you. It's in your midst. It's Christ. And when we hold up our rights, our culture, our viewpoint, our theology in the light of the kingdom, we realize we may have an airtight case, but be missing the kingdom entirely. The power of the cross is—it's powerful. Paul says this in Ephesians. Jesus, he's talking about the relationship between Jews and Gentiles, and we all know that there's probably never in history been a more tense relationship than this. In fact, even just some historical context of this, but in the temple there was a dividing wall, and only the Jews could go into the inner court, and Gentiles were supposed to stay back into this other court. And when Jesus cleared the temple, it was this outer court of the Gentiles that he was clearing. Because the Jews had said, that's not important. We'll just set up some tables there. We'll take some shortcuts. We'll do some trade and business there. But there is this dividing wall, but not just physically, it's spiritually as well. There's a dividing wall between Jew and Gentile, and it took the cross to break that thing down. It took the cross to annihilate, and his purpose in the cross is to make the two groups one. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity. Not fashioned after a political party, not fashioned after a culture, not fashioned after a theology, but fashioned after himself. One new humanity in Christ Jesus. Make one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. And we understand that the cross isn't just simply the means of our salvation. It's the example by which we walk and live our lives amongst us, in our midst, and it's the message of peace to a world that is increasingly gripped in fear and chaos. It was in light of this, Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. And the greatest demonstration of his love for us was the cross. And so our lives are to be living sacrifices, living crosses, walked out before one another, despite our political differences, despite our different feelings on social issues, despite different racial tensions, despite all of it. It's the cross that makes peace. And this is why Jesus said, they'll see your love for one another, and they'll know you're my disciples. Jesus prayed. He said, Lord, I want you to make them one so that the world will believe that you sent me, because this doesn't happen anywhere else except in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, it's not here or there. It's in your midst. It's among you. It's the idea that we will walk this out with people we would never walk with. There's a transformation that occurs there. The great theologian, Toby Mack, years ago when he was part of DC Talk, I was reading an article, and I found this line, and it's just one of those things that just sticks with you. He says, the problem with racism isn't race. He says, people will always find a reason to hate one another. Race, politics, theology. I mean, Calvin had people burned at the stake. Whatever. But when the heart is transformed, when the heart is renewed in the image of Christ, when the Holy Spirit comes and transforms our nature, there's healing, there's wholeness. The kingdom of God has come. It's neither here nor there. It's among you. And it changes how we walk. It changes how we see one another. It changes how we love one another. It gives us love that defies any explanation whatsoever. It gives us love that's actually salt and light to a dark world, which all it knows is how to divide and conquer. But we have the example of Jesus and his cross. And again, like I said, I'm a mess. But I'll see people get in debates or discussions about certain things, and they'll get frustrated with each other, and one of them will just say, you know, we just need Jesus. We just need revival. And there's a time in my point where I'd say, you know, that's just code for you give up. You don't really solve the problem with that. But the more I grow and the more that I've walked through and through this, even this season, the more I'm recognizing that our nation and our state and our community needs a move of God by His Holy Spirit. Because there is no other answer. There is no other remedy. The kingdom of God, it's not here, it's not there, it's among you. And it's that. This is our salt, this is our light, this is our peace. This is what defies explanation. This is what confounds the wisdom of this world. Wait a minute. By serving Him, by loving them, by becoming nothing, by losing. And so this is why, as a people here, as a culture, we are continually contending for God to move in greater ways by His Holy Spirit. Because we can read all these things and we can leave here today and say, okay, I'm going to try and do better. I'm going to love harder. I'm going to really try and get along with this person. I'm going to keep my mouth shut about these things. But we all know where that goes. That lasts maybe a few days and then we're just frustrated again. But we're not after behavior modification. We're after heart transformation. We're after renewal of the inner man. We're after maturity in Christ. We're after the fullness of Him in us. And that doesn't happen by our best efforts. That only happens through God moving in response to our hungering and our crying out for Him. And so I want to, just as we land this today, I want to invite you this Wednesday night, right? Am I got the dates right? Wednesday night, we have Engage Prayer. We have a time of worship where we gather together corporately as a people. And this is what we pray for. God, grow our love. God, bring the peace of Your kingdom. Your kingdom come on the earth just as it is in heaven. Lord, we want to see You completely transform us and our community, our nation, the world. Because, you know, even as Bo shared today, the best we can do, it's pretty pitiful. And when God begins to move by His Spirit, it goes beyond anything we could ask or imagine. And so we ask Him, we invite Him, we hunger for this in our lives. But just on a practical sense, just as we close here, again, it's at first it seems kind of like, you know, the God and Jesus answer, Sunday school, you know, just we need more Jesus, right? That's true. And so the answer really is, how do we come into this reality of the kingdom of God in our midst, among us, working outward from our hearts and serving and loving and becoming nothing before one another, preferring one another, looking to their interests? And the answer is prayer. But I want to give us four specific directions in prayer. And the first one is this, that we pray for our leaders. We pray for those in authority over us. Whether we agree with them or not, whether we like them or not. Because here we're about to see Scripture doesn't make any distinction. There are lots of people in authority in my life that I disagree with. That's nothing new, and that will never change. But Paul says this to Timothy. He says, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving. Whoo! I just read that for the first time. It hit my eye. Thank You, Lord, for our governmental leaders. Be made for all people, for kings and those in authority. Why? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Sometimes it's hard to pray and be thankful for our leaders. But let me just say this from my small little sphere here of leadership. We have no idea what we're doing. We're in over our heads, and we know it. We need wisdom. And so you can disagree with me, you can disagree with or mayor or governor or president. But the reality is, we're kingdom citizens. And it's not here or there. It's in our midst. It's what's coming out of us. Lord, we lift up this leader. We ask that you would give them wisdom. Share your mind with them. Give them your heart. Help them today. Strengthen them. And notice this. There is a measure of peace and rest, godliness and holiness that is in relation to how we pray for them. There's blessing in it for us if we pray for them. That's a promise from Scripture. Because here's the thing, is that right? Prayer says, God, we can't do anything. We need you to work and move. The opposite end of that is, oh my goodness, this thing's falling apart. This guy's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. The world's going to fall apart. I shared this 4 years ago, right? But this is the most important election of our time. Happens every 4 years. If we don't win, I'll lose my country. What if it's not your country? Kingdom of Heaven's neither here nor there. It's among you. Pray for your leaders that you may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Pray for your leaders. Second thing, pray for wisdom on your part. This is something God's just given us grace for. And this that James tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So even if you're the one that created this mess that you're in, he's going to even look past that and generously bless you with wisdom to get through a situation, to know how to handle it. It's just a promise from Scriptures. And so there's times when we need to speak, and there's times when we need to shut our mouths and just be quiet. That's godly wisdom. Proverbs tell us, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he thinks he's wise. And then right on the heels of that, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest he thinks he's wise. There are times to speak, and there are times to be quiet, and it's wisdom of God that lets us know the difference. So everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why? Because human anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. We all know that. We all have seen debates that just fall apart so quickly. And so you can actually pray this. God, help me to be quick to listen. Help me to be slow to speak. Help me to be slow to become angry. Give me wisdom. Help me to control my tongue. James also talks about what? The tongue is a restless evil. It's like a spark that sets the whole forest on fire, and yet your tongue will set your entire life on fire. But if you can control your tongue, you can control the whole person. Pray for wisdom. Lord, when should I speak? Because sometimes in all of these situations that we've talked about, there needs to be something said. And sometimes you just need to be quiet. Pray for wisdom. Third thing, pray with thanksgiving. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will actually guard your heart and your mind. Again, we get caught up in fret, we get caught up in worry, we get caught up in all these things. Lord, thank you. Thank you for my health. Thank you for a great church body that I can be a part of. Thank you for my family. Thank you for steady work. Thank you, Lord, that you've placed authority in my life to watch over me and guard me and do the best they know how to care for me. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I live in this country. Thank you. You can just go on. But it does. I like to use it sometimes. It's a sentinel. It stands guard over our minds and over our hearts. But it actually begins to be a weapon that we use to fight off fret and worry and getting wound up and being tossed to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine that comes through. Thankfulness. Lord, my life is centered on you. You've been so good. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for washing me with your blood. Thank you for sending your Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence, right? It just give ourselves to that in the place of prayer. And finally, we've shared this many times as well. Pray for more of God's love to be manifested in our hearts. And Paul prays, this is my prayer, that your love would abound more and more. Which tells me we can still ask for more and more and more. And it can abound, that there would be no limits, no hindrances to it, but that the love of Christ in our hearts, abounding in our midst, among us, that it would constantly be overflowing, constantly be just pouring out of us. Paul prays that this love would abound in our hearts. Why? So that we'd have knowledge and depth of insight, that we'd be able to discern what is best. How do we navigate all of these situations? How do we navigate whatever crisis? How do we navigate whatever tensions? I pray your love would abound, that you might discern what is best, and that you might be found pure and blameless on the day of Christ Jesus, because the kingdom of heaven is not found either here or there. It's among you. It's in your midst. It's how we walk out the fullness of this kingdom. It's how we walk out Christ. It's how we demonstrate his mind, his heart, his power, and his authority in us. And so this is the great tension that we live in, is that we live in an age where there's just 24/7 bombardment of all the mess of the world. And sometimes the solution is just simply turning it off, right? But we're not called to live in a way to where we're unaware of everything. In fact, let me just say this, in light of all that we've talked about today, do your research, vote. Do what you can to be peacemakers. Be active. But our hope isn't in a program. Our hope isn't in funding. Our hope isn't in a political party. Our hope isn't even in a particular theology. Our hope is in maturity in Christ, that the Spirit is faithful to work into us, in us, unto the day of Christ Jesus. Our hope is that he'll be faithful to finish what he started. And so the response to us is, you know, I gotta go find this because I use it all the time, but there's a story in Kings, right? He's surrounded, the enemy outnumbers him, and then they send him a letter saying, we're going to destroy you. And he goes before the Lord and he just lays it out and says, this is the reality of my situation, but our eyes are on you. And I love that because you don't have to deny, yeah, there's all this junk, all this garbage, all these issues going on in the world. And the issue is, well, I'm just not going to deal with it. Lord, here it is. That my eyes are on you. My hope is in you. My confidence is in you. The kingdom of God is found neither here nor there. It's in your midst. And it's our response to fix our eyes, set our gaze on him. It's our response to say, Lord, help me to love. Give me your mind. Give me power to walk through this. Lord, I want to know what authority I have as a believer. Teach me. Instruct me. Holy Spirit, come, fill and change me in Jesus' name. Let's stand. We'll pray and we'll let the worship team lead us. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you've chosen each one of us to live in such a time as this. And Lord, we ask you for grace on our lives to be faithful with the days that you've given to us, the days that you've entrusted to us. Lord, to seek you while you may be found. Lord, to contend and to labor to see your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we ask you today that you would start in our hearts. Lord, whatever issue, whatever agenda, whatever thing that's captured our attention, that's captured our emotional strength, Lord, we just surrender it to you. Father, we ask that you would capture our hearts, capture our gaze afresh. Show us your glory. Show us your majesty. Show us your power. God, we ask, Father, that you would, Father, manifest by your Spirit the knowledge of your will, the knowledge of who you are. Lord, that you would strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner man. That Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, would have power to comprehend the height, depth, length, and width of the love of Christ. And that we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled to all the fullness of you. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew our minds, renew our hearts. Change us even more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.